Well, welcome everybody to another edition of our Life by Life West. Today, I have someone that I've been very excited to speak with. Of course, Dr. Mary, my co-host, my partner in health, and the love of my life. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
And today we have someone that that is really doing some amazing things. And I know that you're going to feel her heart and you're going to walk away with information that you can easily translate into your life. So let me just share with you a little bit about Dr. Devin Verana. First of all, Dr. Devin, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. Always talk chiropractic.
Well, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. And for those of you that don't know Dr. Devin, she's a 2010 graduate of Cleveland Chiropractic College in Kansas City. Her story is amazing, which hopefully we get into because she started school as a single mom, and her journey is just really, really heartfelt. She met her husband, and I believe she was innately led to chiropractic. Hopefully we can talk about that. She met her husband in chiropractic. They now have 5 kids, 2 sets of twins, 5 and 10 years old. That alone truly wins the prize. I mean, that's huge. And her brother, sister-in-law, cousins are now chiropractors, and her husband started. She's building a dynasty. She practices in Wichita, Kansas, and this woman has just a lot of passion, a lot of heart, and a lot of love inside of her. So, Devin, welcome to the Life West Leadership Line again.
Woo! Yeah, I love that.
Yes. Here we go. Here we go. I do pretty good with that, right?
Yeah, that was good.
And beyond.
You think I've done this before, right?
Yeah, gift of gab. I can feel it.
Probably.
Well, we had the opportunity to just have a few minutes with you before this to get an idea about your story. And it's a big story. Like, it was hard to pick and choose what we wanted to hear today. So we're going to jump right in and we're going to try to get the most story out of you. So why don't you start from the beginning? Just tell us how it all began.
Yeah. So I was pre-med. I knew growing up, even from a little girl, I just wanted to help people, right? And it's like, well, what do you do when you grow up and you want to help people? You'd be a doctor, you'd be a lawyer, you know, you put on like the little kid dreamer hat. And so it was like, away to college I go. Life throws one of many curveballs that would come my way. And I give birth to a beautiful baby boy, which I'll come back to that piece of the puzzle. But, you know, it threw me out of my dreamer heart and into my logical, like, okay, I've got to provide for this child, right? Like, I'm a single mom. What am I going to do that is going to make sure he doesn't need for anything? What kind of life can I give this human that God gave me way before I felt ready? And
how old were you?
So I was 21 years old when I gave birth. Yeah. And I was a junior at K-State, and I came home and started telling my family, I'm dealing with all the emotions and guilt and all, you know, oh gosh, woe is me, you know, into the victim mode. And I took my grandparents actually to Starbucks, and this moment, you know, you have those moments where life just whoop, soul adjustments. And I told my grandparents, hey, I'm going to have a baby, and, you know, I'm probably going to move home and, you know, just take online classes and get a job. My grandpa, like, I will never forget the way he hit the table at Starbucks and said, absolutely not. You think it's not about you anymore. Like, you now more than ever, it's your responsibility to finish. Now more than ever, it's your responsibility to. And so this, you know, it just shook me, woke me up. And it's like, you're right, go back to school. So finishing at K-State, I got a job as a bartender. So I would, my parents would help babysit him while I would go to work late into the night. And then here comes life again. We'll say innate, right? Comes knocking and whispering my way. And I waited on this big party. And there was this guy that was kind of the center of the attention, right? And he took care of the whole tab. And it was, you know, this really broken and broke single mom version of me was watching going, I want to be able to do that. I want to be able to buy my whole family a meal. I'm going to have that opportunity. Goosebumps, like, and I could cry thinking about how far away that felt when I was there. And I asked him when he came to pay the tab, I said, what do you do? So I'm a chiropractor. And, you know, I didn't get his name. It wasn't, you know, other than him saying, I'm a chiropractor. I said, where'd you go to school? He said, Cleveland. I said, oh, Ohio. And he said, no, there's one in Kansas City. And that's it. That's all the further that conversation went. I went home 3 o'clock in the morning. My son had had a very traumatic birth and he didn't sleep well. So, you know, when I would come home from working, he was usually still, you know, up and restless and up every single hour. And I just remember crying with him that night going, we're going to find a way, like, we're going to make sense of this. And I look up on the laptop and Cleveland's having a discovery day. And it's the next week. So I decide to go. And I remember sitting in the old crummy basement. It's back when Cleveland was in a very different part of town. Those that went there will know exactly what I mean when I say that. But I was sitting in the basement and Dr. Carl starts to share things like the power that made the body heals the body. Power flows from above down, inside out. And I'm seeing pictures of the autonomic nervous system and we're talking about expecting miracles. And I'm going, how do I not know about this? Where has this been? And I was all in, literally from the first hour. And I call my parents because I was there alone with my son at the discovery day. And I was like, I'm going to be a chiropractor. And my mom was like, Devin, have you lost it? Like you've never been to a chiropractor. How much does it cost? How long is the program? I'm like, I don't know, but I'm in. And this is it. This is what they were talking my language, mom. These are the things my soul always knew, but I didn't have language for. And so I really didn't ask any questions. It was just like, what's the checklist? How do I get in? And there it went. I didn't get my first adjustment until I was a month into school. So, I mean, I was head over heels for the concept before the adjustment, really. And I think that's kind of carried over in the way that I built my practice, run my practice, live my life, is there's this essence, this bigness, this thing about chiropractic that when you get the big idea, really, you know, as cliche as it is, everything else follows. And that was true for me.
Can I have a timeout for a second? Because Devin, you really touched me. And thank you for opening this spot up for me. The power that within you, whether you knew it or not, you know, that same something, and I call it that something that you were just talking about, whatever that is, you know, I am so utterly amazed and proud and honored to have you share that with us because, you know, all the stuff that we do is just the stuff we do. But it's where we come from, you know, and what happens there. And we could sit and complain. And I know you did, and I have, and, you know, Mary, you have, I know that, but to step out of it and to listen and to move forward, I'm moved. So thank you. Well, time out is over. Girl, this is the first time this happened to me. I've been doing these podcasts for, you know, years.
It is true. I've never seen that reaction from him.
Wow.
I think someone tell their story. So.
I think it's a spark that when I share it, and what is I hope, is that whoever is listening has a moment where they remember their first chiropractic, mm-hmm. right? That first nudge from innate where life went from black and white literally to color. Right? Like that's what chiropractic is to me. That's what it was when I was a broke, single mother bartender to a girl who knew she was going to be able to give a magical life to her son. And it was that when, you know, I figured out that this truth that I had known existed. And then I find friends that, I mean, I could have never, you know, imagined. And chiropractic, she takes my breath away at every turn when I'm in that state of curiosity and when I'm open to receive and when I don't feel like I know it all, because I certainly don't. And I think one of the gifts maybe for me of not coming from a long line of chiropractors, is that I didn't go into it with any preconceived notions. I mean, I just fell in love and I just followed the curiosity. I didn't contain chiropractic at any turn, but now it's contagious, right? So now my sister, my brother, my sister-in-law, multiple cousins, multiple patients and chiropractic assistants have gone back to chiropractic school, because when you're lit up with that kind of light for chiropractic, you know, it lights up others.
Well, I think that, you know, Mira, we've always talked about this, that, you know, we don't choose chiropractic, you know, chiropractic chooses us. And when you talk to chiropractors, you put a group of chiropractors in the room and you talk to them and you say, how did you become a chiropractor? Just like you just shared that story. There's always this, even if they just said, I want to do it for the money. And then my life changed, you know, their lens that they saw the world through just changes after they're in school. And it's just so amazing. And that same change is what we, you know, what we take out with us, you know, as we move forward.
And there's different mountaintops, right? Like there was the, what I thought was the top that I found chiropractic. And then the top became a year into school, someone saying, hey, do you want to go to an ICPA seminar in Colorado? I'm like, yeah, sure. Wait a minute. Kids can be adjusted. Like, why would a kid be adjusted a year into chiropractic school that it took that long? And then there was a new mountaintop. And then it was Focus OKC. And I'm learning about Green Books and BJ Palmer and chiropractors going to jail and every adversity that we've been through. And there's a new mountaintop. It's like when you, just when you think you know, then another level, you know, if you stay in that chiropractic curiosity, right? Yeah. So I love it. You get there's layers, so many layers.
And I love when people say yes, and that's, it's pretty common. The story that I've heard is when, and I did it myself. I heard Dr. Sid Williams, I was visiting my boyfriend at the time, Sid Williams dropped a key. And I knew right then I was going to be a chiropractor. And kind of like you said before, I said yes before I knew how much it cost, how long it was going to take, how I was going to do it. And my parents did the same thing. They said, we're not paying for anything. Like, well, you're crazy. This is not going to work. And I said, I know, I have no idea how this is going to work out. I just know it's going to all work out, because there's no way I'm not going to be a chiropractor now that I know what I know.
Yeah. And what is that, right? What is that essence? And when I didn't know it then it, I would call it intuition. Then I would call it, you know, following my gut, following my heart. Reflectively, I would say it's God, right? It's spirit. It's like this connection to something so much bigger. And I mean, that's man, connecting man, the physical to man, the spiritual, right? Those awakening moments literally changed the perspective of the world for me. So it was a lot bigger than what was happening even in those moments. It just, my whole life was changing.
Yeah.
And so you graduate. You meet your husband, first of all, in school, same class?
Yeah. So we met, we were in different like programs that we ended up kind of aligning, and he kept following me around. I couldn't shake him. You know, that's my version of the story, of course. but yeah, we were really great friends. And, you know, I really just wanted to get through school with my son and didn't kind of had like just blinders, wasn't looking for it. And again, here comes that like divine blessing. And we were taking our last series of boards in December of 2009, well, ending of 2009, fall, I guess. And his dad passed away with cancer. Mm-hmm. And that was another, you know, big shake. And then we very soon after that, we got engaged. We got married in June of 2010. We graduated in August of 2010. I started interviewing for associate positions because I felt like I had a lot to learn. And he just knew he wanted to, he was a business major and he knew he wanted to own his own business from day one. And I didn't feel ready. We didn't think practicing together was smart. So I went on all these interviews and inevitably they would, you know, say, here's the hours you're going to be working. He's like, well, I'm going to be at the lake. I'm going to be doing all these things, running my, you know, and he's like, you could just come work for me. And I'm like, oh, you know, and so I did. And so we opened, we bought a business and he gutted it and built it out himself. And, in fall of 2010, about 2 months after we were married, I said, hey, I'm pregnant. And then started having, about a month later, started cramping, having a lot of bleeding. Oh, I miscarried. And then they called and said, can you come in? Your blood work's funky. We need to do some testing. And the woman doing my sonogram said, oh my gosh, it's twins. And so in a 24-hour period, we went from pregnant to not pregnant to twins. And I thought he was going to pass out. So, you know, because we just bought this building. We've got two sets of student loans. We were living with his mom at the time. And it was a wild time. 2010 was a memorable year for us.
Wow.
And so moving forward, I mean, obviously you went into practice and share with us those early days in practice. Like, how, you know, what were they like? Where was your head and your husband's head? Were you, you know, obviously you were pregnant and had babies and you were, so now you have three, right? Because you had a set of twins and the 10-year-olds, obviously. And then your son, right? Your first son. And then what was practice like back then?
Yeah, it was hard. And it was hard because I made it hard. You know, it's like, I'm that kid that, you know, when your parents would try to help you hold the bike while you're learning to ride the bike and you're like, I got it. No, I got it. Like, I don't need help. That's probably my blessing and my curse of my personality. And so it was like, oh, I know best. Right. And so we just kept trying to invent wheels within chiropractic, you know, and then blessings of, we trained with Dr. Richard Yinney while we were in school, and got trained in acupuncture, and he led us to a group of chiropractors within Pinnacle Chiropractic, and they gave us phenomenal bones, right? So we were really struggling. I remember driving my old two-door Ford Focus with two car seats in the back and my little son sandwiched between there and going, this should not be this hard. Like, we love chiropractic. This should not be this hard. Why is it so hard? And then our friends who we graduated with, the Megan and Brandon January, were practicing in Oklahoma. They pull up in their supercharged Range Rover with their baby. And they're like, what's up? And we all graduated at the same time. And it's like, what are you doing that I'm not doing? Yeah, yeah. Because something here is not right.
They look like that chiropractor in the bar back at K-State, right? That was like, come on, we want to go buy you dinner, right?
What was different is their mentality. They received help. They were open to it. They, like, so my grit and tenacity to, like, make it was now holding me back, right? Because I wasn't letting anybody help me. And so they invited us to Pinnacle. We reworked some things, started taking coaching, pausing for some unsolicited advice to whoever's listening. If you are the smartest person you know, you need a coach ASAP. Turn to something new ASAP. Because I was, man, I just didn't know what I didn't know. And I went from that moment of, you know, realizing how much pride was blocking abundance in my life, and how, yes, I was now a doctor, but I still had the broken mind and heart that girl did and back in the bartending days. And it was like, okay, I'm not her anymore. Like, I have to change this, and I have to change this. And I've got to surround myself with people who are doing the things I want to do. And that opened all kinds of doors. Eternally grateful for the coaches and friends and mentors that I had in that space.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Right. Beautiful. So Devin, what would you say your message is, like, you know, now? Like, what are you passionate about as far as your message for living, your message for that you're telling right now? You know, because obviously you transform quite a bit. And what's really interesting is that, you know, you had this experience, and sometimes it takes being broken to be open to the experience. That you just allowed your what you had said before you knew the words innate, that you allowed your gut, you allowed your whatever to say, I'm just going to chiropractic school and this is it, right? Not listening, you know, not letting your head stop you. And then you get out and you're back to that same comfort a little bit where you're trying to control it all, right? And then it gets broken down again. And so, and I think everybody goes through that. I mean, my gosh, I think we should go through that, obviously, you know. And now, you know, where you are, What's that message within you that you're, and not just in chiropractic, but also in life? What is it?
So it's, you know, one of my good friends says that, you know, we've got to let our mess become our message. And so if I can only speak from my own experience. And when I, you know, kind of lay my hands figuratively over chiropractic, and something I wish that we would all maybe embody at a new level, is that chiropractic isn't something that we do. It has to be something that we truly are at our essence, you know, that we are the product. And so we can't preach a message that we don't live. And so really breaking down, like, where are your hearts and hands, and what are you doing with your chiropractic voice, right? Like, and I think that when we make chiropractic, and you have to have business sense. And if you light yourself on fire for the principles of what we do, the ADIO, the expect miracles, the reconnecting man, the physical, and man, the spiritual, and you let that come fully alive in you, you cannot fail. And so when it's in your hands, you will witness miracles that will take your breath away over and over and over again. When it's in the heart, when I say that, that's the way I raise my kids. That's the way I get ready in the morning. I prepare for every day, that whether I'm in the office or not, I'm still a servant of chiropractic in everything I do. So it's not this separate, like, okay, I got the doctor hat on because I'm in the walls of my office now. Now I'm going to play the part. No, it's who I am. And it's in the way I speak to myself. You know, I think we are one of the most abundant, like, thinking groups of people. And yet you get to know a lot of individual chiropractors, and the subluxation is poverty mindset, right? And so it's like, where are we incongruent with the bigness of our messaging and the way we're actually living it? And when you can start to surround yourself with people who really walk the walk, talk the talk, and they're living and embodying the chiropractic essence, life is so good. And I couldn't want that anymore for us as chiropractic and for humanity as a whole.
Yeah.
Wow.
11 years, Mary, 11 years out, man. Lots of wisdom in this woman right here. Lots of wisdom.
It took us a little longer to get there, but we say our message,
right? You know, like, when you have stuff happen, when life collides and you do allow yourself to be broken mm-hmm. down and go into the, and then rise up from it, like, you live a lot of life when you're willing to let life carp you out that way. So,
and right. And in the rising is when you learn all of this. It's not in the comfort of your office and saying, God, this is so easy. People just walk in, you know, and similar to you, we always say, like, chiropractic is in us. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, we didn't force it. We didn't push it. We weren't even looking for it.
Yeah.
But it's in us. And in all of our years of practice, you know, we kind of joke about that. We don't know why people came in, you know, and they didn't know why they came in half the time, but you know, if we did ask them a lot of times, they were just like, well, I don't know. You guys just have something that I want, and I don't know what that is. So.
Yeah. And it's also talking about, you know, 36 years, someone's been coming to our office to get it. I've been in practice 40 years as a chiropractor, 36 years practicing, 4 years as a president. And Mary is now 34 years, right? 35, yeah. Going on 35 yeah. years. And we have people who came into the office for 30 something years, and I can't tell you why they came. They just keep coming because they innately know what's right, you know, and they just know it. They feel it. They know that it's the right place to be. They know how they feel and what their health, you know, is like. And it's such a beautiful lifestyle, you know?
And that's you living it, right? Like, that's not, you know, I hurt a little bit, and I get it. But like, when I'm on social and I see, like, how do we get new patients? I just cringe. It's like, the basis of chiropractic is like, you be it, you be the light, and you don't have to go get anything. I think, you know, you attract everything, good, bad, and different. And that's like, right. That perspective, when, like, you can look at the light you're beaming out, 30 plus years of, like, loving service. When you emit that frequency, it's, yeah.
People find it.
You talk about that. there's a contraction that happens mm-hmm. when you're searching for that new patient. I gotta have. And that just creates this contraction. It's almost like, you know, grabbing the sand and squeezing it, right? And holding onto it, it just slips through your fingers instead of just opening your hands up like this and just being there and being the vessel, right? Because we can be filled if we allow that vessel to be open.
Yeah. And I go back to that moment with my grandpa where he's like, it's not about you, yeah. right? Like, that's so selfish of like, I gotta go. Like, it's like, I love the tenacity and the hunger to want to help as much as possible. And you do have to, you know, put in the effort, but love is it. Love and compassion and trust and expectation of miracles every day. That's it. Yeah. You get there and life and business are good.
Yeah. I love the fact that you, it sounds like at least, and I could be wrong on this story because I don't know your story, but that you called your grandparents. And you went, obviously your grandparents are they're rocks for you somewhere along the line, right? They're, yeah. And I just love the fact that that's probably where I got hit also was, you know, your grandpa said.
And it's this flash, you know, there's that movie, the baseball movie where if he would have hit the home run.
Mr. Right.
Yeah. Right. And that moment, I know that him smacking that table and looking me in my soul and saying, literally changed the trajectory of my life.
Yeah.
And that's that, you never know how far reaching. And we carried the opportunity for that impact in every conversation, yeah. right? And that awareness and that love he had for me to tell me the truth, whether I liked it or not, I'm forever grateful.
Yeah.
Well, grandparents, let us have it because we need it.
Hey, we're grandparents now, so I'm learning from this like that, you know. Yeah, we gotta be on our game, Ron.
I know. Man, I tell you, we could keep going and we're hitting that time on our webcast. Just incredible. But I don't know, Mary, you have one more question? Anything else that's coming up for you?
Yeah, I have a quick question. You touched on it, but I want you to just more for the viewers. Is what's your vision for future chiropractors and future chiropractic?
So wherever you're at, whatever time of day this finds you, if we all just kind of pause for a second and put our hands on our heart and take those three big deep breaths that center us back into the present moment. And you feel that beat in the heart and you ask the question, what is that? What is that thing? What is that power that beats this heart of mine? And you remember who you are and what you've been called to do. That is what we do with every adjustment. You know, I'm a girl from the Midwest. I've seen The Wizard of Oz, I think about 3,000 times. They would show it every year growing up. And now I see this, that Dorothy moment of you've had the power all along. You know, humanity is in this pursuit outward, looking for the answers to love, searching for the answers to life. And it's in here. And above, down, inside out, I don't care what ail or suffering or what it is, if we are able in our lifetime to lead people back home to that truth, it will be a life well lived. And my vision for chiropractic is chiropractors on fire for that mission, that we can take people back home to a truth that sets them free.
Yeah. Love it.
Right.
I love this woman.
Okay. So Devin, we end these.
My husband is like, what are you doing today? And, well, I've got a podcast. Like, talking about chiropractic, whenever, you know, I've given a chance, it's like this adjusted the three of our souls. And I think we do stuff like this because if it reaches one other person,
we understand
the ripple. Like,
that's right. Yeah. Well, so I have a question for you. We always end these podcasts asking two questions, and I'll ask the first one. Knowing what you know today, if you could shoot back in time And you could go visit yourself as a first quarter student at Cleveland. What would you say to her?
Stay curious. Don't make it harder than it is. And it's supposed to be fun, so don't take it so serious.
It's good.
Light up.
Good advice. Good advice. And Devin, I'm going to ask the second question. Same thing, you know, but you get to reach out right now with what you know, and you get to reach out to that Dr. Devin now, not the student, Dr. Devin who's just starting practice. Now that you're 11 years later, what advice would you give Dr. Devin just starting out?
It's not about you.
There you go.
The world needs you. It's get after it. Do not let up. Do not take no for an answer. And don't live it too fast, because the moments, those beginning moments, are the hunger and the joy and the growth that they don't come again that way. They're the first kisses, right? And you want to be in as many of those moments as you possibly can.
Wow. Well, Devin, I one thing that I'm getting, I just want to share with our viewers as we wrap up, is the message I'm getting. I got a lot of messages, and I'm sure Mary, you got a lot of messages also. And we want to thank you, you know, but really what's resonating with me right now is live your life with your, you know, eyes wide open. You know, a lot of people live their lives with their eyes wide shut, and it's like, you know, take what comes at you. Whatever's being served to you, know that this is what you're bringing in your life, and there's a reason for it, good, bad, or indifferent. And you could have it how you want it, because Dorothy, we are in Kansas. Devin, we are in Kansas. You know, it's really what it is. And it's so beautiful. So thank you. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for sharing your heart, your soul, and your wisdom. And, you know, I'd never challenge a woman who delivered two sets of twins and was a single mom and decided, I'm going to go become a doctor, and did it, right?
Right.
You are one
woman on a mission, and I got a lot to fight for. You know, those five things, I don't take that lightly, the gift of being their mother. So
you do.
I'm grateful for this time, and I can't wait to hug you.
Well, we could do a virtual, but I just got this thing floating in my head right now. And I say this, I mean, very, very, you know, I don't even know what the word is, but graciously, and I say this to build you up, you're like the Kansas tornado that is moving in a direction that creates this force that others can come into and be able to move with it. And we are thankful for that. So thank you so much.
The irony of that you didn't know is that Billy DeMoss and Tim Young's nickname for me is the tiny tornado. So there must be some truth to this.
There's something going there.
Well, that, girl, that is your superpower.
There it is.
You're a force.
Stirring it up. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I want to thank our listeners. I mean, there's so much that you can take from today. And listen to this a few times, because I'm going to go back, and I'm sure Dr. Mary is going to do the same.
Yeah.
Just listen to this, because there's so much truth and so much wisdom in the words that Dr. Verana shared with us. We're all destined to be successful. Mm-hmm. What that looks like, you know, the brushes in our hands, the colors we can choose, we just have to choose it or allow it to be chosen for us. But we are the artist, and we can make this happen. So thank you for being with us today, to all our viewers. Keep spreading these to the people that need to see these. And I think everyone should see these. Come back next time for another Life by Life West. We drop these every 2 weeks. And we are so excited that we had you today, Devin. So thanks again.
I'll see you soon.
Yeah. And to everybody else, we will see you soon. Keep loving and hugging those in your family. Keep people close to you. Give, do, love, and serve out of your abundance. And never forget that you are the miracle. The miracle is within you, right? That you are home. And, you know, click your heels 3 times or just get the Atlas tap 3 times, one or the other. But it's always been in you. And that's the message that we can leave with today. So thanks again. See you next time.